Hello, church, and God bless. Thank you for joining us today on this beautiful Sunday. We appreciate that you guys take some time out and listen to the words that the Lord gives us. Before we get started, let's pray. Father God, thank you for this day, Lord, this blessing that you have given us of life, Father God, when we don't know if tomorrow's guaranteed, Father, but we thank you. We thank you for what you give us and take away, Father God. We thank you for our families, our friends, our jobs, our homes, Father God. There's a whole lot of ugliness going on in today's world, Father God, but we thank you for sustaining us, Father God. I ask, Lord, that my words be your words, Father, and that someone hears it, that it touches someone, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Church, thank you again for joining us. It's always a privilege to bring what the Lord gives me, and just, you know, I try to translate as best as I can. And the way he gives it to me is the way I bring it. And, you know, I thank Pastor Keith. He opened up a sermon last week, Chasing the Lion. And he started it with King David. And we all know that King David was a great man, a powerful man. And you know, it takes some understanding to read and to try to interpret what the Bible says. And you know, we know that Pastor Keith, he always brings a good word, and the way he brings it, he lets us understand it. And today, you know, the person in the Bible that I would like to talk about, you know, he went through some things, and you know, we all go through certain things. And it's for a reason. It makes us stronger. Everything that we go through, you know, God puts us through these things. It's not to hurt us or to set us back, but he puts us through these things to make us stronger and to, you know, need him more. And, you know, there's a purpose for that. I like to read Job 1:21, and it says, "And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And a lot of times that verse is shortened up a little bit, and it goes, "God giveth and God taketh away." And the man that I would like to talk about is Job. You know, if you don't know the story of Job, Job lived in Uz. I think I said it correctly. It's U-Z. That's where he lived. And, you know, Job he was well off. He was rich. He had livestock. He had children. He had land. I mean, I believe he was, you know, he was a powerful man. He had it all. He had everything. You know, he wanted for naught, but he loved the Lord. You know, the Lord blessed him in many ways. But because of this, you know, the enemy, the devil came at him. And not directly, but he asked God first, "I see how Job is with you. I see how he feels about you, but I want to mess with this guy." Mind you, he asked permission first, and God allowed the enemy to come at Job. And the first time, he took all his money. That was the first time that he came at Job. Again, Job stayed faithful. Job loved God. And he didn't break. Second time he came at him, he took his livestock. He took his lands. Still, Job stayed faithful. He loved God. Another time he came and he killed his children. But mind you, he asked God if he can do this. He asked God, "I want to come at Job." And he took his children. Job had nothing. He had his wife and some of his health. He had a couple friends, and I'm pretty sure at this point, Job was just hating his life. Like, there's nothing else to live for. Like, I'm pretty sure he just wanted to give up, but he kept going. But there was a point where Job's wife told him, "You know what? Just forget about God. Just forget about him and die. Like, you don't have anything left. Your children are gone. You don't have any money." You know, his friends tried to consult him and, you know, but it didn't matter because he wasn't really hearing what his friends were talking about. But through all this, Job stayed faithful. Regardless of what he had, has, was taken away from him, or was given to him, Job stayed faithful. Everything was taken away from this man. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, there's times where, I don't know, you're at a job and you might not get the raise that you wanted. You feel some type of way, but you're still working. You still have a job. And today's, in the life that we've been living now, you know, we see some a lot of more restaurants opening and masks are going to go away soon. But the past plus year, people have lost their jobs. You know, people have lost their homes, their cars. They can't make payments on anything, but we've bounced back. Can you imagine what Job was feeling when everything was taken away from him? But you know what? It's for a reason. And again, that reason isn't because God wants to hurt us. He wants us well off. You know, pastor last week talking about David and the first part of Chasing the Lion, he was, and this is something that I've said many times before, but you know, there's people in our lives that aren't here anymore, but it's for a reason. There's churches that aren't here anymore. There's restaurants that aren't here anymore, and it's for a reason. But guess what? If we depend on God and we ask God for the things that we need, when we chase God, because God is our lion, when we chase him and we ask him for the things that we need, he gives those things to us, regardless of what we had. We had, you know, it's like life. We're on borrowed time. We're here today. We might not be here tomorrow, but that's okay, because guess what? What are you going to do today? What are you going to do for God today? Because he's given us everything. So let me ask you this again. What are you going to do today? Tomorrow's not guaranteed. Will you help somebody out tomorrow? Will you give somebody a dollar tomorrow? Will you help somebody with a flat tire tomorrow? Somebody's broken down on the side of the street. That's the perfect opportunity to bring some of the word out to people who might not even know it. Again, what will we do today? And I just, you know, for the past couple of days, I was working on this sermon, and the whole direction of it went somewhere else. I had Job didn't even pop in my head. It wasn't a thought. And I'm reading stories in the Bible, and I'm trying to figure out, well, man, who's a man that I can speak about? Who's a man that chases the lion? And I'm scrolling through verses. I'm Googling stuff. And throughout all of that, Job just kept popping in my head. I'm like, you know what? Job. Well, hold on. Let me see. Let me just keep looking. Let me find some. Let me talk to Sam. Let me talk about Samson. You know, like Pastor spoke about David, how he was this warrior, but his heart was for God. Let me talk about Samson. He's another great warrior that we've spoken about and read about in the Bible. And as I'm reading, I'm going back to Job. I don't know why. And, you know, then I wanted to talk about Noah. You know, how he obeyed God, and you know, God gave him everything after, you know, and still everything's coming back to Job. So I start reading the story of Job again, and little by little it's hitting me. It's like, man, this man went through some stuff, but guess what? After everything that he went through, his heart was for God. Regardless of what happened. Again, he lost everything. He lost his money. He lost his lands. He lost his children. He might have lost his wife, but you know, maybe his wife was there to tell him, well, guess what? You should just quit and die. No, because her saying that just made him want to go after God even more. And that's where the verse Job 121, you know, God taketh and God giveth away. you know, we aren't guaranteed tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen. If God takes something away from us, if God closes a door, he's going to open another one. If God takes something away, he's going to give us something better. You know, I in my young 40-ish years age that I have, you know, I've lived a little bit, and God has taken some things from me. But you know what? What he's given me was way better. You know, my wife and I and my family, we, I believe we're on our second year of living in our new home. But, you know, we went a couple of years renting in places. And, you know, I believe my wife had a little more faith than I did. She was already ready to buy a house. And I'm like, babe, we're not ready for that yet. Let's rent. Let's see what we can do. But you know what? The time was right. And God took us out of the places that we were renting because it wasn't ours. You know, yeah, I guess we made the bank rich. But guess what? Renting makes a landlord rich. But it's not ours. It's not a place where we can buy, where we can say it's our home. It's mine. I'll put money into this home. I'll fix it up. I'll make it look pretty. I'll invite people. And it's not to boast, but this is what God has given us. So God took what we didn't have, really, because we were renting. It wasn't ours. And he gave us a home of our own. This is, well, one of my perfect examples of God taking that old thing and giving us something new. He gave us something better. You know, I grew up in church, and I wasn't really into church, but I grew up in church, and, you know, I heard the sermons, and, you know, I was that young kid that really didn't think too much of it. The only thing that was in my head was, I'm playing sports. This is what I want to do. I'm going to be a professional baseball player. And I was pretty good. I was always told I was pretty good at it. I played football in high school, banged up my knee a little bit, stopped playing that and just focused on baseball. But I guess life took over. And I didn't make it as a professional baseball player. And I wanted to play for the Phillies. I'm from Philadelphia. Like, I root for all Philly fans, regardless of the season, of how we win. It doesn't matter. But I wanted to play for the Philadelphia Phillies. But guess what? That's not what happened. And it didn't happen for a reason. From me playing sports, it led to, you know, I dropped out of high school. Never got my high school diploma. Working dead-end jobs, working minimum wage jobs. But guess what? God has a funny way of working things out. Again, he took what I thought was okay and made it better. He gave me a job without a high school diploma, and I was making some good money. Worked my way up, became a supervisor, made some okay money. But then another opportunity came, and that opportunity was I got my diploma. From me getting my diploma, he gave me another job, which is where I'm at now. And I work for a uniform company, and it's a Fortune 500 company. It's on the Forbes list. Obviously, that company's doing well because it's making money. But from me working jobs, minimum wage, and not having a diploma, to having a diploma and being a service supervisor, I'm a boss now. God took me from that little $7 job. Now, don't get me wrong. If that's what you have now, nothing's wrong with that. But God's going to turn that into something a little more. But you have to ask for it. You have to do your part. You have to believe. You have to have faith. So that's where I came from. And now I'm doing okay. But guess what? I'm content. I'm happy with what I have because he's given me so much. Maybe later on I'll ask him for something else. If he doesn't give it to me, then okay, that's fine. If he gives it to me, then hey, hallelujah. But we have to bring these things to God. We chase God and God rewards us. We have to lay everything on his feet. Everything, no, regardless of what's going on, regardless of what we've lost, if it's a job, a car, a relationship, a house, like these things will be replaced if you ask God. Now, you know, I'm sorry if this happens. I don't want anyone's marriage breaking up. I don't want anyone losing their job. But if these things happen, bring it to God first. Be faithful like Job did. Because, again, Satan took everything from this man. But guess what? God restored him. God gave him everything that the devil took from him. Why? Because he was faithful. He loved God. He chased him. He chased the lion. Regardless of what was happening, the one and only, the man upstairs, took care of him. At the end of the day, God will take care of us. Regardless of what's going on. People, I know that it's hard. It's hard to stay faithful. It's hard sometimes to even pray when bad things are happening. But, and, you know, this has happened to me many times. What happens is we focus so much on what the bad thing that's happening or that's already happened. We dwell on it. We let it marinate. And it just festers and it just grows. And that's what our focus is. But what our focus should be is, well, God, can you make this better for me? Or, God, how can I make this better? How can I seek a better path and to get out of the relationship that I shouldn't be in the dead-end job that I have, in the house that's breaking down and my landlord doesn't want to fix it? We bring these things to God, and God makes miracles. But what happens is us as flesh, as humans and being the impatient creatures that we are, we want things now, regardless of what's going on. We want it now. We don't care if we run over people, like we're going to get it. And I want this right now. I wanted it yesterday, but we have to be patient because God's time is perfect. It always works out. Always. And church, in closing, I want to read Proverbs. I mean, it's really quick. Proverbs 16:3. It says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Again, Proverbs 16:3, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. And what I took out of this, and I read it like 4 or 5 times. If you commit everything to God, your life, your marriage, your kids, your job, everything. Let him take control. Regardless of how smart you think you are, or, well, no, my way is better. God's plan is already done. It's already there. You have what you have because he already has given it to you. He knows what you want. What he's waiting for is for you to chase him, for you to ask him what you need from him, whether it be, you know, a job, a house, you know, more you spiritually want to get closer to him. I know it sounds like I focus so much on the materialistic things, but regardless of what we want, we lay it at his feet. We put it in his hands. And he's the sculptor. He'll make it into whatever it is that you need. And this is where Proverbs 16:3 comes in. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Church, thank you. Thank you for your time. That's what God has given me. I hope that you received it, that it has touched your hearts, that it's given you some type of tingle in here. And maybe you can pass that on to someone else. Church, thank you. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the opportunity to bring your word. Father God, I'm always happy to try to bring your word, Father. I know that you say it perfectly, but you've made me perfectly imperfect so that someone can relate to me, Father God. Thank you for everything that you do for us, Father God. Thank you for giving us that morning wake up when we don't want to wake up early in the morning for work. But sometimes we don't know if we are going to wake up. We go to bed praying to you and asking you to give us another day because we don't know if we have tomorrow. Tomorrow's not promised. Father, thank you. We love you. We praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What a powerful sermon by our Pastor Richie. I am so touched and so honored just to have to share the my time, to share not the pulpit, to share this time of the walk we have together with him and brother and other men just like him. And you will be blessed throughout this whole month. I'm sure of it. Just like Pastor Richie blessed us today, talking about Job and how God restored everything that was taken from him. If you just be faithful to him, if you seek after God and seek after, you know, the thing that God wants you to do, and don't get distracted by the lions roaring in the background. Don't get distracted by the devil, what his attacks and what his plans are, because God has a better plan. Because here's the thing, even he passed on, Pastor Richie said it, even the devil had to get permission to touch Job and to do what he had to do. So if you go right to the source, that's God, nothing that devil can do can happen to you that's going to take you out. It may take something from you, but it's not going to take you out of here. And whatever God's allowing to be taken out of your life, it's only for a season that you don't need it. And you can, there's more waiting for you in the next chapter. Because if you keep going into the next chapter of his life, everything that Job was taken from him was restored double. Everything was twice the land, twice the children that he had from the beginning. God restored everything double. And I believe God can do that for you. We never like to end our service without giving somebody the opportunity to allow Christ to come into their hearts. Allow Christ to come into life, because this is what we do. This is why we're here, to share God with you, to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus, the risen King, our risen Savior, with the world and with you. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." So we come to a part we call the salvation ABCs. It's like real simple way of allowing Christ to come into our hearts. We not break it down to make it simple so that it's easy to share. We don't have to make anybody in through any hoops or any obstacles and things like that. The cross is the hardest thing. We take up our cross, and so we use salvation ABCs just to present Christ to you and allow Christ to come into your hearts. A is to acknowledge or admit that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but that he rose from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." Just that simple. ABCs. Admit, believe, confess, and allow Christ to come into our hearts. Let's pray this prayer with me. Repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Listen, listen. What's that? I hear the angels rejoicing because somebody came out, somebody gave their life to Christ, and angels are singing a song and having a party in heaven, and they want to invite you to the party as well, and we are rejoicing with you. Here's what we want to do. I want to get together. I want to come together as a family, come together as one. We want to do this life together, enjoy life together, and make us stronger and help us chase these lions that we're going to come across. All right, here's what I want you to do. I want you to text the word all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Again, the word is all in, A-L-L-I-N, to 609-831-3377. Listen, thank you so much for joining with us. You could have enjoyed service with anybody anywhere else in the world. We are so honored and grateful that you shared your time with us. I love you all. God bless you.